The following message is by Pastor Jason Drapeau, Senior Pastor of Winchester Community Church in West Seneca, New York. More information about Winchester Community Church can be found at www.wincc.org.
It's my opportunity now to share with you, kids. This is like Pastor Jason in the lesson time with the grown-ups. Is that okay with you? You good with that? Yeah. You get to listen to me. I didn't have opportunity to teach you. It's some fantastic lesson leaders. Now I'm going to go ahead and give a lesson to the parents. But I need a visual. So just like we had visuals, you know, like what were some of the kids? What were some of the things? What were some of the things in the lesson room that you remembered? During the lesson time, what do you remember? One of your teachers dressed up, right? Do you remember? Yeah. Miss Leah dressed up like she was from Bible times. It was amazing. And there was, what else was there in one of the lesson times? One of you cute little ones was actually inside of it. Yeah, what was there? There was a, your dad made it. What was it? The prop that the woman at the... well, there was an actual well in, and you saw a cute little girl in the well. It was just very cute. Well, this right here, this is a visual, and it sort of is the Magnified Vacation Bible School all in a hat. It's so cool. Bible verses are on the front and back. There are some critters that are crawling or flying. I hope they don't get in my hair. That would really mess me up. A bad pastor hair day will just throw me completely off. But these are some exciting things. And in the Vacation Bible School theme, we saw the one word that really ties all aspects together, and it is seen in some of the pictures and the visuals. The word is, what was the theme? What's the Vacation Bible School theme? It's on all of your shirts. It's everywhere as you walk in. It's what? Say it together. One, two, three, go.
Magnified.
That's right. Like a magnifying glass. That's one way that we see the word magnified. So we looked at, and you'll hear me talk about, the magnification of things. Seeing the tiniest of things up close. God making the bigness of the universe and the smallest of things that we can see together. Do you want to do one of those stage game things? The zoomed in up close and try to guess. You want to do one of those? All right, so shout out what you think it is, everybody. All right, can we get one? We're going to do this if we are able to, if we have ability in the booth. If not, we'll come back to it later on in the service. Do we have, is Jay up there? He might not be a present. All right, we'll do a stage, the zoomed in stage thing in, oh, here it is, right on cue. Yay! All right, let's fire this up. It's going to come really quickly. We don't have much time to guess what it is, but let's see if we can guess what it is. What is that? Say it. More. Okay. Any thoughts? Adults, I don't hear any of you. Your kids are blowing you away. What do we think that is? It's so interesting. More, keep going. Keep the guesses coming. It's almost coming to an end. It's going to zoom out pretty soon. Oh, what? It is a what? It is a... I'm impressed. You all know what a kiwi fruit is. Good for you. That's awesome. How interesting is that, right?
I thought it was a pear.
I know. So, you know, it's a fruit. We had a bunch of them that they were fruits. That's probably the kids were guessing them. The kiwi fruit is Pastor Jason's favorite fruit in all of the fruits that God has made. Did you know that? That's not why we put it up there, by the way. That just happened to be completely random. But magnified has that as one of its usages for us in language. We see magnified things up close, and you can see that in our theme. That God made the smallest of creatures and the bigness of his created world, the birds and the flowers and the bugs and the vegetables and fruits and all of these things. There's another use, though, of the word magnified in the Bible and throughout our normal sort of conversation. It's maybe not used as much today, but it's used in our churches for those who know and love Jesus and who worship him. The word magnified is the root of things like the word magnificent. Can you hear it there?
Yes.
Yeah, magnificent. It's the meaning of giving someone just an exaltation of praise and honor and glory. It's recognizing someone is amazing. It is a word used to describe God. Magnified is an exalting word for the God who made the smallest creatures and created the bigness and the beauty of his wonderful universe, who takes care of all things and is worthy of our thankfulness and our glory and joy. To him, God being worshipped and magnified as magnificent. Both the word magnify, like a magnifying glass, where we see things, small things in a bigger size, as well as the word magnificent, declaring glory and honor, is what comes to us from the Latin root magnus, which means great. And so what I would like for you to join me this morning in doing is to zoom in with a kind of magnifying glass of sorts in this week's Vacation Bible School in celebration and review, as well as declare greatness to God with me. Worship and extol and magnify the magnificent God. That's what we did this week in VBS Celebration Sunday. We're going to do it today. So what I'd like to do is sort of bring it all together with you in a poem. Can I share with you a poem? Kids, I'm gonna give you a poem today, all of us alike. I'm going to ask for you to participate because I think this brings it all together in a sort of one-phrase sentence. All right, so here is the poem. All week long, we saw, in the big and the small, when we go through it all, God loves and forgives so that you and I can live and declare to him, be magnified. I'm going to say that again, okay? And then we're going to go through it phrase by phrase. I'm going to say, in the big and the small, when we go through it all, God loves and forgives so that you and I can live and declare to him, be magnified. Watch, kids. This is like the whole week in a phrase. I'll share it with you like this. In the big and the small. Can you say that with me? All together. In the big and the small. There it is. Magnification that we saw in the early scripture lessons here in the early part of the week at Vacation Bible School. The kids heard about God creating the entire world. Not only God creating it, but also having dominion, like leadership over it. Like when Jesus was in a boat with his followers on the sea. And they were in the northern part of Israel, and a windstorm came up and blew over the waves as they were in a boat. And Jesus' followers were terrified. They thought that they were going to drown because the boat would sink. This is recorded for us in Mark 4. I invite you, adults specifically, but kids alike, you as well, can join me in opening the Bibles that are in front of you or turning on a Bible and a mobile device that you maybe have brought. And Mark 4 is where you can follow along as I read. It's also on the screen behind me as well. But Mark 4 can be found on page 530 in these red Bibles. This was one of the lessons the kids learned. Kids, do you remember Jesus calming the storm and that lesson that was shared with you at that time? So here we are, and this gets to us in the big and the small of our poem, of our phrase today. Mark 4, verses 37 through 41 shares these words, and I'll read it with you in these red Bibles, page 530. Mark 4, 37. And a great windstorm arose, it says, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling with water, that is. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, the back part of the boat, asleep on a pillow. And they, the disciples, awoke Jesus and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he, Jesus, arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he, Jesus, said to the disciples there, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they, the disciples, feared. That means like revered Jesus, had a reverence for Jesus exceedingly, and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Jesus' response from his resting place in the back of the boat, rising up and holding on to the swaying ship and speaking to the wind and the waves was this: peace, be still. Jesus just needed to say the word peace, and there was peace. And Jesus' followers were amazed. Even the wind and the sea obey him. Mark 4:41. Jesus, you see, had created the wind and the waves. Colossians 1 shares with us that he not only is the firstborn of all creation, but the one who created all things. And so he had dominion, authority over the entire world, and has even still, even fierce blowing wind and waves. And this Jesus, do you know why he came to earth? He came to save, to come near to those, even the smallest of children who would come near to him. Now, adults, if we have not yet come near to Jesus, we have the same opportunity as these kids whom we brought all throughout the week, and that is to come near to Jesus. Because this is what one of the memory verses says, John 1:12, like you heard the kids say and like we all hopefully said together, John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, that is Jesus, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's why we sing, I believe Jesus saves, is because we can then become God's children in a new relationship with Jesus. What a joy to call upon Jesus to be saved. Kids, that was us and what we heard this week at VBS. Wouldn't we love for all of our families as well to believe that Jesus saves? We would, absolutely. So this is in the big and the small. Can you say that phrase with me one more time? In the big and the small. God created the whole world, and Jesus, having dominion over the whole world in that very moment, made us understand in all creation and even coming near to children and allowing us to be children by believing in the big and the small is our great God. Okay, so next, in the big and the small, when we go through it all, can you say that next phrase? When we go through it all. One more time. When we go through it all. Man, grown-ups, we can relate to this probably a little bit more than kids because we've been going through it all a little bit longer than these kids have been going through it, right? We'd be going through it, you know what I'm saying? Man, life is just, we, especially if you're a parent, we love the children, but we'd be going through it, you know what I mean? A lot of what we go through, all really, is a result of sin. Maybe not the sin that we have caused, maybe some of it, yeah, we are part of why we go through it. Sometimes it's just because of sin that other people have done and we're suffering the ill effects of it. In the Garden of Eden, God's perfect creation, they weren't going through it. They were just living and loving God. But here, when we go through it all. And it's as a result of our own wrongdoings. The Bible calls that sin. The pervasive sinfulness of God's creatures has led to difficulties and downturns in God's creation. The kids this week heard about that. Jesus spent some time with a woman. The woman at the well. The woman at the well. Yeah, that was a lesson. We actually had a well in the church. It was so cool. And Jesus spent time with this woman who had been going through it. She really had. And you can see this in John 4. You don't have to turn there, but you can just, you know, recall that if you're going to hear from me share this story, Jesus spent some time at this well in the middle of the day, and a woman who had been really suffering a lot of things because of her own sin, Jesus spent time with her and shared with her that she could be free from her sin and free from the separation from her sin. If she trusted in Jesus, Jesus would give her streams of water leading to eternal life. It's just what one of the Bible memory verses that we didn't get to. Kids, do you remember? And some of you might. Romans 5:8. That was another one of the memory verses. Let's all say that together. This is our hope when we go through it all. Romans 5:8 says, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. You see, friends, we don't get cleaned up to come to church. We come to church to get cleaned up. Same goes for why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to earth looking for good, pretty, beautiful, perfect people. Jesus came to earth when we're going through it all, so that all who would trust in him, even in our sinfulness, we can be called children of God, John 1:12. We can accept Jesus' death on the cross and be made clean and pretty and perfect people in the eyes of God. And this is why we talk so much about Jesus and make such a big deal of Jesus, is that in all kinds of sin, wrongdoings in our day, Jesus still made a way for us not to be lost in our sin. But if we would simply say, Jesus, I need forgiveness, come and save me, Jesus will, and Jesus does. And I invite you, as you see in your bulletin, ways to embrace and accept Jesus' forgiveness. I'll share more at the end of this message. God desires for us all to be forgiven of our sin, in the big and the small, when we go through it all. That's what we heard this week at Vacation Bible School as well. All right, so far so good. You doing okay? Yeah. Kids, you doing it? You doing great?
Yeah.
Yeah, love it. All right, adults, you doing okay? Yeah. All right, good stuff. In the big and the small, when we go through it all, say this next with me, God loves and forgives. Would you say that? God loves and forgives. And this is amazing, and this is also what we heard this week, specifically with regard to a curious, skeptical fellow named Nicodemus. Nicodemus had some objections to Jesus' teaching. He had some disbelief about who Jesus was. Nicodemus was a guy who was a sort of like a legal figure in that day, in Jesus' time. And Nicodemus came to Jesus and shared with Jesus some of his cynicism and some of his doubts, even some sort of sarcasm in some respects. And Jesus loved him. Jesus loved Nicodemus and forgave Nicodemus and invited him to be born again. You see, this is one universal reality about all of us here. Raise your hand if you've been born. Yeah, that would be all of us. You got it. All of us were born. We didn't grow on trees or sort of zoom or get hatched like dragonflies or other things. We all have been born. But we all have been born, like the phrase says, going through it all. We've been born in our sinfulness. So Jesus says, look, I want you to be born again. That's the phrase he uses, and he used with Nicodemus. And this was in the same John 3, John chapter 3, where we get John 3:16. John 3:16, later on in that passage, a sort of commentary about what Jesus was talking about to Nicodemus, where Jesus said, you got to be born again. Jesus says, John 3:16, everybody, kids especially, if you know this, for God so loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16, Nicodemus heard Jesus say these words. And you know what? Nicodemus, formerly skeptic, cynic, sarcastic, Nicodemus believed Jesus. He believed Jesus' words. And this same somewhat cynical, doubting Nicodemus became born again and was the one who actually cared for the body of Jesus in his physical body after he was taken down from the cross, laying Jesus' body in an earthly, newly carved tomb. The doubter Nicodemus became a believer. God loved and forgave Nicodemus and made him a new person. God loves and forgives. Would you say that with me one more time? God loves and forgives? God loves and forgives. So in the big and the small, when we go through it all, God loves and forgives. Next, say this phrase with me, so that you and I can live. So that you and I can live. This week in the final VBS Bible lesson, we heard such encouragement and truth that not only does God love and forgive us, he provides for us and encourages us not to worry and gives us hope and promise of eternal life by our faith and our trust in him. This is from Matthew 6. A couple weeks ago, you heard from another pastor here instead of me. It was Pastor Adam Holzinger from a church in the North Towns, and he came and preached from Matthew 6. And how cool is that, that that same Matthew 6 became one of the Bible lessons this week at Vacation Bible School? This is just continually coming up because I think we need it, right? We go through it, adults, yeah. And we sometimes, or all the time, need to know that God cares for us and encourages us not to worry And things like, even not just in Matthew 6, but also another one of those Bible verses, Deuteronomy 31:8, which was another one of the ones that the kids learned, that Deuteronomy 31:8b, He, God, will not leave you or abandon you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. In the big and the small, when we go through it all, God loves and forgives so that you and I can live. And God desires, and Jesus says this in another passage, that, you know, Jesus speaking, I came that they might have life, whoever believes in Him, and have it abundantly. God desires that we have abundant life, that we can live in a way that honors God and God is honored by. Neither in this life, if we know Jesus, nor in the life to come after we have gone and are with our Savior Christ in heaven, will we have any concern, especially if we have a deep and a real trust in Jesus. Life might be concerning, but if we grow close to God in Jesus Christ and dig deeply and read regularly and even come and be encouraged faithfully, we encourage you to keep coming on these Sundays as God affords your schedule opportunity, we can remind each other, hey man, oh dear sister, I understand we all be going through it, but don't forget that God will not leave you or abandon you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. God is with you. I am with you. The church family is with you. This is a joy and an encouragement. In the big and the small, when we go through it all, God loves and forgives so that you and I can live. And now I share with you at this point in time in the service the way that we can really step into this new life that Jesus gives us, this life abundantly. You can see it on the inside of your bulletin. I encourage you all to turn there at this time. On the inside of the bulletin, kids learned this, heard this, even prayed a responsive prayer like this week. This is a kind of kids' way of saying it, right, with ABCs. I'll try to extrapolate it a little bit for us today, those who are a little older. All of us can use a refresher in this. It's this acknowledgement that we first need to have. A, admit. You see, if we walk through life, you know, saying, I'm good, I'm fine, I don't need Jesus, I'm okay. You know what? A drowning victim can say the same thing. So can a soldier in the middle of a battlefield without realizing the reality. The reality doesn't change what's real. The reality is that we go through it all. And so this is a very valuable first and important step, is for us to admit that we have done wrong and we need forgiveness from God, and we cannot be or get to the perfection that God expects and deserves. And that acknowledgement, that admitting, is important. And that's the A. That's what that stands for. The word repent there is just a biblical word. It means to turn 180 degrees and go God's way. The first turning is from our wrongs and just admitting, I can't do wrong anymore. I need a good God who is right. And that's the B, believing. Believing that Jesus is good, that Jesus saves, that Jesus is the only way our sins can be paid for and for us to be forgiven. It's not doing more good than bad. Guess what? There's still bad then in our lives that we carry. Nothing can ever be washed out or made equal or clean except for Jesus, who is perfect and perfectly God, who came to earth perfectly human, as ununderstandable as that is, no matter how much of a magnifying glass we see. Jesus saves and can clean us from our sin, and believing in Jesus is that second most important piece of our lives and beginning this abundant life God has for us. And then C, that is the word here they use, confess. That's not getting in a room. We're in a very Catholic Western New York, right? That's not, I mean, getting in a room and saying something to a person on another side of the screen and doing some sort of things out in the community afterwards. That's not what that means. The word confess, just again, is another word that kind of means to admit or acknowledge. It's a declaration. It's like, you know what? Now that I believe that Jesus saves me, I want to walk in this believing. I want to live in this believing. I'm going to start a new habit of this believing and read and forgive others and perhaps maybe begin a new Sunday morning practice. And it's not coming to church that gets you saved. It's not reading the Bible that gets you saved, just like it's not doing enough good deeds that gets you saved. But this last piece here is a confessing and acknowledging it and walking into, I believe it. I believe Jesus can save me. I have this new faith. There's something that makes me born again, and I want to live and grow and sprout and flourish in this new birth. And so this is kind of the idea. It's acknowledging we've done wrong. It's believing in Jesus, and then it's saying, all right, day one of my new birth. It's so cool, and it's so amazing, and it's the big and the small. When we go through it all, God loves and forgives so that you and I can live. But guess what? That's just the beginning. You're like, whoa, that's a lot already! That's just the beginning? Yes, because what can stir within us once we have been forgiven of our sin? A new joy in the one who forgives. Kids, with me here for a second, I'm going to shift to this side of the stage. All right? If you've been given something really fun, really good, really wonderful, you're like, yeah, I got that the last day of EBS. Yeah, my birthday's coming up. Yeah, I don't have any presents. Sorry, I got nothing. Nothing for me, but imagine something really fun and you get it. Wow, you get it from someone you love. Maybe a parent or someone in your family or something, a friend of yours. You are given that thing by someone you love. What does that do inside of you? Yay! No. You receive it and it kind of makes you want to do what? Makes you want to give them a hug. Say thank you. There's a response. Right? A gift that you receive, it stirs within you a response to the giver. And that is what the second use of the word magnified in the Bible comes from. Not just zooming in like magnification, but magnificent. We've been forgiven by God if we believe in Him, Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, so He took care of our sin. We have this new life if we admit that we need a Savior and believe that Jesus is the one who can save us and walk into this new life. This gives us a desire to say, God, may you be magnified. What a rightful response. We can't hug God. Can we see God? Is God visible? No, God is by definition invisible. Can we hear God? Is God necessarily audible? Well, no, we kind of can see what God has said, but we don't have His audible words in our ears. Well, then I can't give Him a hug or write Him a thank you note. How do we thank the God who has saved us in Jesus? Go ahead. We pray. We can live our lives faithful to Him. We can proclaim the Lord's greatness. The word in other translations is magnify the Lord with me. Not God in a magnifying glass, but again from the Latin magnus, meaning great. Let's declare how great God is together. There it is. Exalt His greatness. Exalt His name together. And that is our theme verse. It's the song we sang earlier, proclaim or magnify the Lord with me. This has been our desire throughout the week and in all things to make all things about the greatness of God. God knows our sin, yet He's made a way for us to be saved despite it. And if we believe in Jesus, the payment and penalty for our sin, we can experience God's love and forgiveness and all that He provides for us and our need to not have to worry that God is always nearby us. And this leads us to declare how magnificent is this God who has given this all to us. In the big and the small, let's say that with me, in the big and the small, when we go through it all, God loves and forgives so that you and I can live and declare to Him, be magnified. Would you join me in saying this together one more time? Repeat it after me, because it's worth being said. In the big and the small.
In the big and the small.
When we go through it all.
God loves and forgives.
So that you and I can live.
And declare to him, be magnified.
I hope you believe this, and I invite you to receive this Jesus and declare this greatness of God together today. Would you join me as we close in prayer? Oh God, I thank you for this reality, this truth, that all week long the kids at Vacation Bible School heard and learned and lived in the games and the crafts and the songs, in the lessons, in all things. We desire to make you great, O God, because you're worthy of it. In the smallest of creatures, like the ant from the stage and even the smallest particle of the universe, to us, those who are made in your image. You, Jesus, came to this earth so that you and I could know and believe in you, experience your love and forgiveness, and you desire for us to return that thankfulness to you in worship, in singing and saying and praying and reading and returning and being together one with another and declaring how great you are. Thank you, God, for such a wonderful week. Thank you, O God, for such wonderful people. Thank you, O God, for being such a wonderful God. I ask that you, O God, would stir within us a new faith in you today, Jesus. And friends, adults and kids alike, if you once more would desire to have a new relationship with Jesus, I invite you once more, whether you've prayed before or never in your life, to simply say, Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner and need forgiveness. I believe you, Jesus, can save me from my sin. I now confess, declare you, Jesus, as my Savior. Help me, O God, to live in this new born way in you. Oh, thank you, God, for doing this in kids and adults alike. May you be magnified, Jesus, in your name. Amen.